Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Our Lord and Father, we just bless your holy name, Lord. We thank you for how you started with us this morning. You've made it clear to us that your word is tried. You are a buckler to those who trust in you. Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory, O Lord, for what you are doing amongst us so far. And we say all glory be to your name in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we go into your word this morning, in this short time of sharing, Lord, we ask that you would bless the food we eat, O Lord, this morning, in the name of Jesus. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon us. And Lord, I yield myself unto you, O Lord. And I ask for unction, O Lord,
Amen.
That your word will find free course in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. In case anyone is wondering, I'm not going to go into any plenty detail in this, but my emphasis is on Pentecost. I'm drawing an inspiration from there. Seeing that we're doing a Bible study, you know, on Pentecost, we've been doing that for a while. And personally, it's one of the feasts. I appreciate every feast, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacle, but seeing that this is the current feast we're dealing with in the house, in Bible study, it's expedient to look into it a little bit. And it's been in my heart to talk on some things relating to that. And thankfully, the prayer burden that came up at the beginning of the meeting started with that. Now, I'll just start by saying this, you know, Pentecost is a unique feast. It's the first taste of divinity. It is the first taste of God in practice, an experience of God. You know, one thing that happens in the church today, in fact, in case anybody is wondering, the tabernacle is a wonderful piece to use to analyze different things from the ages, from the spirit, the soul, and the body. We have the age of man, we have the age of the church, which we are currently in, and we have the age of the kingdom, which we are looking forward to. Sorry, can we hear me from the back?
Yes. Okay. Which we are on the threshold of.
Which we are on the perfect, actually.
We are on the threshold.
We are on the threshold. We are just on the verge of entering that. We have the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit typified in the most holy place, the soul in the holy place, and the body in the outer court. And we also have something quite important, which is a map for our spiritual growth. The tabernacle is a map for our what?
Spiritual growth.
So the tabernacle is a map for spiritual growth. Now, you see, we start always on the outer court, experiencing the Feast of Passover, then we move on. We see our interactions with every attribute. I don't want to spend or go into many details of this, but we move on from an outer court kind of approach to life. We see the sun being the fundamental source of light on the outer court. Then we move in into the holy place. And you see the menorah, the lampstand, becoming the source of light to the individual, talking about being led, becoming a spiritual person, which is the primary work of the Pentecost experience. In fact, the Pentecost experience is meant to take you into a true spiritual experience of God. Out here, it is still theoretical. Let me say this. There is nothing theoretical about Pentecost. Literally nothing theoretical about it. Every aspect of it is practical. Every aspect of it. It is here we start to have a taste of what is to come from it. We start to have true faith. In fact, when we start to talk of the things like the natures, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in this place we use faith to assess it, but in this place it is part of our being, so to say. So Pentecost is an experience that gives us access to the spiritual nature, that is, it brings us into a true spiritual experience of God. And it is a preparation for divinity. In fact, in my opinion, Pentecost is a schoolmaster. Praise the name of the Lord. So my topic today, really, I want to be focusing, as Lord gives grace, to go into some aspects of this feast, which the prayer point already spoke about. Looking at the operations of these two in an individual's life. Please, if you can write this down, the primary work of Pentecost is to create a spiritual believer. The primary work of Pentecost is to create a spiritual man or woman. This is where we begin to become spiritual people. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's just go into it. If you could title my message today, it's a topic I... or something I like really much, or very well, rather. I'll just title it, Built Up by the Word of His Grace. Built Up by the Word of His Grace. You see, when we come into the faith, one thing people don't really understand is that we come in as spiritual beings. The great divide between the unregenerated man and the believer is the cross. But sometimes we cross over to the other side, and like Nigerians say, you are like a JGC. People just walk about, they don't really know what to do, they just cross over. Someone gets born again, and the next thing they throw in the morning activity. When it's meant to be fed, to be built up. So the walk. Remember, the Feast of Pentecost, by the way, is experienced as an individual and as a corporate body. So you are either experiencing it as part of the church, or you are experiencing it as an individual, which go hand in hand, by the way. And everything is meant to bring you into a proper spiritual grounding. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, I'll be laying foundations today. I'm trusting the Lord to go as far as we can. Just lay some foundations, which has been on my heart. I would like us, before we go to Acts 20, I'd like us to read the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. And I'll just read it quickly. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing forth unto Israel. Another translation says, and the child continued to grow and became strong in the spirit, and was in the desert until the day of his public showing forth unto Israel. I'll read another scripture. Luke 2, verse 40, this one giving an account of Jesus Christ. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, these two scriptures are the basis for my body today, which I'll be sharing with the house. And one thing to notice is that an account of growth was given concerning, in this case, John the Baptist, but it is a rather prophetic statement that the child grew, a state, a spiritual state of a child, but he grew and he waxed, he became strong in his spirit. So spiritual growth is a discussion in the spirit. It is something that takes place where? In the spirit. And it was in the desert till the day of his showing forth unto Israel. That means there's an expectation to grow. Now, verse 40 of chapter 2, he said the child grew, speaking and giving an account of Jesus now. He said the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That means we see two evidences of growth now. That he was growing in wisdom, filled with wisdom, spiritual wisdom. He was wiser concerning spiritual things. And what do we see there again? That the grace of God was what? Upon him. The scripture will say that grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So these things are experienced on two levels. And you can always, at every point in time, look at yourself and analyze with the tools we have given to us. We see the tabernacle. I expect at this time that we should be able to use the tabernacle to measure things that pertain to the three articles, from the age to the spirit, soul, and body, to spiritual growth. And like I said, it's meant to be experienced both as an individual and on a corporate level, a church, and on an individual level, rather. When you can look at yourself and analyze your spiritual growth, look at traits from the scripture, because there is need for it. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's turn quickly to Acts, to that scripture, which is the theme of what we'll be discussing. We'll be doing more explanations as a foundation today. Acts 20, and I want someone to read Acts 20, verse 32. That's where.
And now, brethren, send this to God and to the word of the Spirit, which is able to give you up and give you an inheritance among all them who are justified.
Now, brethren, it says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Can someone read that in a different translation?
Amplified. And now I commend you to God, placing you in his protective loving care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, the counsel and promises of his unmerited favor. His grace is able to build you up and to give you the rightful inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that is, among those who are set apart for God's purpose, all believers.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the first thing we see from this scripture, which is very important, it brings into notes or into focus the need that there is, the fact that there is need to grow as a believer. Like I said earlier, it's one aspect that people don't really give thought to. And it's safe to say that we are all at a stage where we are all growing at diverse levels. The body is composed mostly of youths. And whether it be on the level of ministry. Some of us are just starting out in anything pertaining to life. We are all starting out on a small phase, but there is provision for growth. Now, this scripture gives or draws our attention to a specific thing, which is the word of His grace. He did not describe it as any other thing but the word of His grace. It is like describing or prescribing a diet for growth. In other words, anything outside His diet cannot profit you spiritually. I can give you the word of mercy, which is technically the same thing. I can give you something else that sounds like grace, rather. But it will not profit you. Why? Because it is your diet is meant to be the only thing, the thing that is prescribed for your growth. The manufacturer prescribes something to help enhance the product over time. And that is the only thing that can sustain it. And I'm happy my brother started on the notes of the Word of God, speaking about how the Word of God is tried. Now, if I could just ask, what is the Word of His grace? Please be free. I'll try as much. We're not preaching or anything like that. What, if you could describe it, what would you say is the Word of His grace? Just anybody. The Word of God. That's quite easy. That's true.
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay.
And when he continues going on, I want to get to that particular portion so I can show us why I believe in the Word of His grace.
Oh yeah.
He said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But He said somewhere, I think in 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And 16 says, and of His fullness have we all received grace.
For grace. Hallelujah. I think Ansi just answered the question perfectly. Of course, the word of the grace is Christ. The word of grace is also the word of God. But we must draw our attention to the fact that He says the word of His grace. Now, the scriptures in Hebrews 10, verse 29, describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace. That means it is not just any kind of word. It is the one the Holy Spirit gives. Now, if you look at the tabernacle, and which is a proper, a current experience in the church today, you see people going towards two different extremes of this. You see either people go towards spiritism, or they become word alone people. When the priest came here, because only the priest had access to this, they were meant to feed on this based on the light from this place. What you see today, there are many aspects of Christianity that favors one aspect over the other. When it's meant to be the two, and that is the prescription for growth, that it is the word of His grace, like Auntie mentioned, that we have received of Him grace for grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Please, I want to emphasize again, we should be a mix of these both. There is no, don't be a spirit person or a word person. It does not profit. We have articles in this place that make us experience God on a deeper level, whether it be on the word or with spiritual vessels. I will not go into the manifestation of the spirit or anything like that today, because that's not the burden. But it is an important aspect of our work with God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit
They go hand in hand. The gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If it is like playing a game and getting to a level, something is activated on the next level. It is not, it's not because you try, but growth in grace allows character to come up, and also the graces in there. Is that clear?
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord. So we have established that it is the word of his grace, not any other kind of thing. The word which grace, the spirit of grace, Christ makes available. Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation as much as possible, looking into the concept of what spiritual fruit is. I'm going to go, if you notice, I'm going precepts upon precepts, and then just laying a foundation, because this is quite important for the time we're in. You see, spiritual fruit is quite interesting in the sense that it is called spiritual. I had an experience in 2016 that changed my appreciation for the Word of God greatly. I usually don't share this, but just for the case of that, it could stir up our faith and make the message come home better. I was on a short wait. I was on a short wait to the Lord, and I was just waiting and just doing normal things, and I rested on the bed. And someone walked into my room. I was hardly asleep. It was a half-conscious and half-awake experience. And he spoke to me about certain things and gave instructions about things that are to come. And they actually came to pass in the coming year. But after speaking with me, he said something that caught my eye and changed my appreciation for the Word of God. He pointed to my reading table. I was looking directly at him. And he pointed to my reading table and said, "Oh, you're going." As I turned towards my reading table, I began to perceive actual food. I'm talking about sweet almond, jello fries, I'm not joking. Actual food. It was so pulling, the aroma was so real. It was as if I could jump up from my bed and stand up. And as I turned, and I looked at my table, I saw the Word of God. A Bible on my table, and I snapped out of it. It was not a dream or anything like that. I don't know what to call it. Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. But it changed my appreciation for the Word of God. It changed my approach for the Word. I began to appreciate it better. I think it was a story of Babalola. Has anybody heard of that story that an angel appeared to him and gave him a yam to eat? And he said, "This yam is the word of God for the whole nation." Very wonderful story, funny in a certain way. But the concept of spiritual food comes to mind, that for any man to be spiritually effective, just the way you have to be physically effective, for you to eat, to be physically effective, you need to eat physical food. So it made me to start to look into the concept of spiritual food. Now, spiritual things are not accessible unless they are revealed. Before you can engage any spiritual thing, it has to be revealed to you, whether on the negative part or on the positive part. I'm talking about light and darkness. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10 says, "Physical eyes and physical ears have not seen, neither has it entered the heart of a natural man, the things that what? God has done what? Prepared for them." Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Say, "God has prepared for them."
God has prepared things for me.
So there are things prepared, stored up for the believer. There are things stored up. It is, I don't like the fact that I say it's prepared. It's like cooking food. Either fresh, microwaved, whatever it is prepared. Hallelujah. So God has prepared it, stored. Then he begins to explain. Can someone open to that scripture and read chapter verse 10?
What God has
reveal them unto us by His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Hmm. Hallelujah. So He has revealed them by what?
The Spirit.
So we see that spiritual food is revealed by the Spirit. It is not given. I like the word revealed. It is not just given, it is revealed. That means I can read this. I can read King James and not see food. I can read NLT and not have access to food. Spiritual food is accessible on a personal and corporate level. That is why we come to church. By the grace of the Lord makes food available through individuals. And as we grow in the body, the Lord becomes a vessel to feed his house. We become vessels, rather, to feed the house as the Lord gives grace. So, he says that it is revealed by the Spirit. And whatever the Spirit reveals in the faith, whatever the Spirit of God reveals, comes as truth. Whatever the Spirit of God reveals, because it's called the Spirit of Truth. It says that the Helper, which I will send, will lead you, will guide you into all truth. Praise the name of the Lord. So, on a personal level, you have access to this. And on a corporate level, we all have access to this. In fact, the fact that we come to church enhances your ability to feed in the closet. That's one of the reasons why we can take things here in church and we go home and the Lord sheds brighter light on them and we stay on them. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's move to the corporate level. And let's open to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I'll start reading from verse 10. I'll start reading from verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, Paul begins to give us a reason for the fivefold, as you call it, and why they are given unto the church. The first thing he tells us is that it is given to perfect or equip the saints. It is given to equip the saints. That means the average believer, whether in ministry or not in ministry, should be equipped to a place of spiritual strength. I needed to ask myself at a certain point, now why do I study the Bible? Do I study it because I want to share with somebody? What is the reason? Or is it because maybe there may be small grace working in my life? Why do I actually study the Bible? Why am I listening to a message? I needed to come to the point where I asked myself that question. So I understood that the believer, whether you are in ministry or whatever, of any form, you need to be equipped spiritually. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body, the building up of the body. Verse 13 starts to explain some other things which are very important. See, we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a mature man. That means there is a measurement. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a reference point of measurement. There is a reference point of measurement. That means the believer. That's why it's called born again. Because we are born as, if you could say, spiritual beings. So there is a measurement, a reference point of measurement, a mature man. Why are we to come into this? Verse 14 begins to explain. It says that we henceforth be no more children. Now, if you look at the nature of a child, his feet is very weak. The feet of the child is very weak. It says that we be no more tossed to and fro. Anything can come and sweep him. Someone has come into town. One heavy revelation. You just hear it. As, let's go there. This revelation is tight. You want to make moves. To do things. No grounding. Anything can just come. Out of nowhere, you just say, this is exciting. They are pulled by anything. They are excited about anything. They are also very self-indulgent. The nature of the child, give me now. Very self-indulgent. The nature of the child also represents a carnal Christian. It also represents a carnal Christian. That's one thing the child represents. It is, you cannot trust a child. I think it was Uncle Hope that gave an analogy of this in the conference. That you do not give your child, your hand to a child to help you cross the road. So we are meant to grow from an approach of carnality towards living to an approach of a spiritual lifestyle, which is what Pentecost makes a case for, based on what you are feeding. And this experience, or this Pentecostal experience, is by knowledge and experience. That is a true experience of God. Not just knowledge. A true experience of God. Praise the name of the Lord. So, verse 14 continues. That wherein the lion waits to deceive. Verse 15 speaks something which is quite important. It says, and I want us to read this together. Can we go? Verse 15. Please, let's read that together again. One, two, go. But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love, that we will grow up into all things in Him. Please, I want you to write it down. The building block of the believer is revealed truth. And the language of the church is revealed truth. We explained that. The building block of the believer is revealed truth. And the language of the church is revealed truth. You see, like we said earlier, truth is concealed from the natural man. And when we come out of the world, sometimes we come into church with the same mind we had when we were in the world. Some of us were even born Christians and we've remained born as a tradition, traditional Christians without any change. You see people say, no, it's not like this. We do our own kind of Christianity where I'm from. When I was in Owerri, this is not how we do it. Why? Because it is not naturally, there should be no difference in how a believer relates, regardless of where you're from. Praise the name of the Lord. So truth is not subjective. It is a constant, regardless of where you are from. That is why we come into church and we begin to be exposed to truth. I would like us, let's open to a scripture. I want to outline these things before, so we can grasp some kind of things. Let's open to John 8. We'll read some scriptures today. John 8, verse 44. If someone can just read that quickly.
We are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do.
Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Mm.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
For he is a what? He is a liar and the father of it. That is his nature. He specializes in lies. I think the NLT puts it better. He says that lies are his native language. He specializes in lies. And remember, when we were in the world, we were bound, we were under, the Bible calls us children, natural children of disobedience. In other words, we were under the same man called the devil. We were bound to his lies. And one thing, you see, when people cross over into the faith that we don't deal with, is these lies. And thankfully, our brother picked it up in prayers today. The lies. That is what spiritual truth comes to battle against. Regardless of where you are coming from. The lies, the father of lies. Bombardment. You have come to a point where, even though you are in the faith, it is just hard to comprehend certain truths. The father of lies. Says he was a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth. There is no aspect of truth in him. And when we come into the church, there is need. We begin, that's what revelation does. We begin to be exposed to truth on a deeper level, and we begin to make it a platform for our reality. I'm going precepts upon precepts. Let's take one more scripture to establish what the church does. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Please, what is the church of the living God? Can we say that together? The church of the living God is the what? The pillar and the ground of truth. That means it's like, you know, when you come to Canada as an immigrant, if you don't know how to speak English, there are programs that offer you the choice and provision for you to learn English or to learn the language of choice in the city. When we are born again, it's like being taken to a school when you begin to learn about the things you have received. You come into the faith, and like I said, you are like judges, you are just there. But you need to comprehend the things. He said you have received a treasure in earthen vessels. You begin to learn about that. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you just confess with your mouth. Say, Lord, I accept you. I believe in you. And in your heart, you believe. And all of a sudden, a spirit enters you. You do not shake, nothing. There is no physical evidence. to state that something actually came upon you, unlike the manifest experience of the Holy Spirit, which some of us have. So it is almost like nothing happened, no change. People get born again and they ask, what is the difference now? Sometimes you see a believer getting, after they've given their life to Christ, the first couple of months is a struggle. Like, what is actually happening? Please, can we help turn that off, please? Amen. At least it's the Bible that is. Amen. So, you see a believer, like I was saying, he struggles. He struggles to, what is the difference? Like, especially when you are in the wrong place. That is why it is needful that when you get a man into the body, you bound him. You bound him with people who are on fire for God. He says, if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. It is needful. Because he says that you have the pillar and the ground of truth. That means truth is dished out. It is said when we come. You are coming out of the world and he comes and he says, you begin to learn things about this thing inside you called the Holy Spirit. Because he says it is Christ inside. It is actually Christ inside of you, which is the hope of glory. I was looking at something recently which caught my eyes. You know, he calls it a treasure. And this treasure you have received does not, it is just there unless you engage it. Now, if you know how treasures work, any expensive treasure, whether it be gold, silver, diamonds, any precious stone, the true beauty of that treasure does not come into view unless light shines on it. The true beauty of the treasure you have received cannot come. The full capacity, the capabilities of this thing cannot come into true view unless light shines on it. That is why we begin to ask the Lord to open, to bring light. We begin to learn that I'm not the same man I was when I gave my life to Christ. Now it is already revealed. It says the Spirit has revealed it. It's for us to now comprehend. And that is what spiritual food is. Truth. I want you to mark that. Spiritual food is revealed truth. Your spirit man cannot respond to any other thing other than spiritual food. That means I can come and take out one nice video from YouTube and cram it. One motivational message and say, you are great. Believe in yourself. You have something unique in you. There is something about you. You have a gift in you. Believe. You will be charged up. Has anyone been to any of those motivational? You will leave that place like you can tear a mountain down. You just go. Jesus. So this thing, I have this thing inside. I didn't know I was like this before. You leave there. We went for a program some years back. I think it was me, Ilan, and Wired. I think it was motivation something. These guys came. And one thing they actually do, they pick up. They take principles from scriptures, which is quite interesting. But they come, maybe it's a grace there. The way they do it, they make you believe you are another thing. And all of a sudden, we left there, we're charged. But like 1 week later, life hit us. You see? There is only one thing that can benefit you spiritually, regardless of anything you eat. That is why you can go to church and someone will come and preach and shout something at you. You will be charged. Daniel was talking about, I feel the power. It will not benefit you. It is only truth, revelational truth. It creates a scope. It creates a scope for a new reality. It says your light. Or your word is light. Amen. the path I walk on. That means if there was darkness before, I walk on that path on a new what? Reality. And that is how spiritual growth occurs. You see, if you look at, for people who take biology here, you find it interesting that you can decide to eat grass. Cows eat grass. It is nutritious to them. You can decide to stir fry grass, put whatever sauce you want to put. It will taste good. But do you know why it will not benefit you? You are a biology student. Do you have an idea? Does anyone know and have an idea of why grass will not benefit you? Nutritiously.
It's talking about the grass.
The grass the cow eats. Whether lemon grass. I'm not talking about legal. Grass.
He's not talking about
It does not have all the nutrients. That is. You cannot digest it. So we are getting somewhere. So you cannot do what? You cannot. No, so you said something. You don't have the that's it. Please clap for me. Clap for me. She just. Who said?
Two
people. I knew you knew it. We are two.
They
are the same. Hallelujah. So that's quite interesting, actually. So you don't have the enzyme to break it down. In fact, the enzyme is called cellulase. Grass is made out of cellulose, right? You can break down starch as a human being, but you cannot break cellulose. You will pass it out the way you ate it. So regardless of what you are charged with, if they pack cellulose and modern put it with all manner of teriyaki sauce. It cannot benefit you. Spiritual truth, revealed truth, is the building block of the believer.
Jesus.
He says that man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of his word. It is not any kind of word, rhema, review.
Yes.
Now what?
Yes.
It shall not have life. Mm-hmm. It shall not grow outside the revealed word. The only thing, spiritual truth is like amino acids to your buildings. It is like proteins. Truths revealed. That is the only thing you can respond to. That is what this does to you. And you cannot do this without the combination of the Spirit and the Word. That is the operation of the church. That is the provision the Lord made for the church to eat from. You cannot do this outside those two articles. Maybe in a future time we'll move further and look at the other article there, which is the altar of incense. So spiritual truth is the building block. It is the language. When we come here, we do not say, I'm trying. Or it is like this we do in our family. This thing has been there in my family. It's a lie. It says, remember not the old thing, for I do a new thing. Forget it. It's a lie.
Yes.
Those are lies of the enemy. And the more you have access, the more you can comprehend and feed. We'll speak. I'm laying going deliberately. There is an aspect of how do you respond to the food you are eating or the world you are exposed to benefit from it. Because we are exposed to food every day. How do you look at that later? and old principles that do not change. We'll take them and we'll begin to exercise them. Now, let's go and further establish how this is the provision for which the church is meant to eat in this age, in the church age, which is typified in the realm of Pentecost. I'd like us to turn to a scripture. Exodus 24, verse 1 to 11. I'll read it quickly and give a short description of what happened here. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people come unto me. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, it is the words, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. Moses wrote all these words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took blood and sprinkled it upon the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and what? And they drank and drink rather. Now, this story goes back to a previous chapter. The Lord was about to visit the Israelites and he wanted to come in his manifest presence. He was to come upon the mountains, you know, to come in thunderings, in fires. I mean, it was to come in a very, very, it was not too pleasant to the natural man, very scary. But he wanted to actually put two things in the heart of the Israelites, which was his fear and his might. So he was to come and visit them. So the children of Israel said, Moses, this thing we are seeing, this thunder and lightning and whatever, we can't go near to it. It is too dangerous. It is scary. And the Lord instructed that a boundary be created around the mountain. While he will be on the mountain, while the glory of the Lord, the cloud of the Lord will be upon the mountain, there will be a boundary for the children of Israel. That means they should not cross that boundary. And if anyone crosses that boundary, they will be stoned to death. Now, in verse 9, we see a group of people are allowed to cross this boundary. He says that, and they went up, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of the children of Israel. Now, we must appreciate some things in this scripture. There are some prophetic implications to the scriptures. And we see three different experiences of God. I don't know if anyone has noticed that. Now, there is, maybe this will help us a bit. There is the mountain, and there is the boundary with thousands of children of Israel. But an instruction comes that some people should cross over here. That
That means Aaron, Moses, Nadab, and Abihu, which are all Levites and priests, they crossed over here. Moses had no limitations like the others. I believe we know Moses is a type of Christ. And Moses is the only one who has access to the top of the mountain, which is the presence of the Lord. But I want to let you know today that that access is not given to Moses alone. You have access by the blood of Jesus into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Moses, in his own time, was the only one that could go. He was a type of Jesus. And we see three levels. Three levels. We have people on the outside, priests on this place. And in the presence of the Lord, a type of Christ. Now, we don't go in there, but my focus is on what happens in there. At this point, we can at least make or draw a parallel to the fact that this connects to the holy place, Pentecost. In fact, if you realize, it is priests that are allowed to cross this place, and 70 elders. That's actually very prophetic. If you remember, in the holy place, the only people allowed to come in here, which people? The priests. And what were they allowed to do? What did they come here to do?
Trim the lamb.
To trim the lamb, okay.
And to arrange the bread.
To arrange the bread. Sometimes they eat.
And they eat the bread, yeah. They
eat the bread.
And then the altar of
Israel. The altar of Israel. We will not touch this side today. Our focus is the operations between these two. Now we must see something. So we can draw a parallel that is speaking of the church age. Even though access has been made to the fullness, we can draw a prophetic parallel and take instructions as to what we ought to be doing in this area. In fact, the 17 elders, or the 70 elders, you will find out, are a type of the church. You remember the story of when Moses was grieved. He was tired. He had become a set man. And he was, in fact, that's one of the reasons why you cannot afford to be. How does one man shepherd 10,000 people? It's which grace is that? It is impossible. So Moses got tired. He used to stay on the mountains, and the Lord would send the children of Israel come to him one by one to take counsel. And Jethro gave him a counsel. I think it was another story as well that he asked that the Lord said he would place his spirit upon 70 other people. And if Moses is a type of Christ and his spirit is placed upon 70 others, the Bible says that he prophesied. It is a shadow of the day of Pentecost, right? You see that happening. So he prophesied. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord came down upon the children of the disciples, and they spoke in tongues. So we see that the operations in here should be instructive to the believer. The operations in this place, with regards to spiritual food, if this is meant to build you up, there should be the instructions in this place can help you grow. Now, there's something I forgot to say. Spiritual food, the only way you can benefit from spiritual food, which you have established as revealed truth, is to rehearse that truth and practice it. It is not just truth revealed. It is truth rehearsed over and over again and practiced. It is what? Let's say that together. It is truth what? And practice. You say it over and over to yourself. David will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Don't forget. He will command the soul, forget not, forget not. You will not forget.
Amen.
You will speak truth and say, this is my soul, forget not the truths which you have spoken to you. Forget not the benefits. You continue to, in fact, there's something I really like on Facebook. There's this group, I'm blessed by their ministry, I have nothing bad to say about them. I may have sentiments concerning them. We know the people that preach immortality on Facebook, right?
Alfreda.
Alfreda, yeah.
I'm blessed by your ministry. There's something they do that I appreciate, regardless of what they appreciate. These guys re-emphasize that their belief in, they have a way of attaching it to anything they do. They post the pictures of their children and they write immortal children. They produce a song and they write immortal songs. In anything that they are doing, they are attaching these truths that they believe to the most small things. And to a certain way, it has a way of sticking to you based on repetition. Immortal phone. Whatever works for you. See, I'm trying to pass. I don't know if you're getting it. They attach that truth. They attach that truth and it becomes, I'm of the simple opinion, that you have an immortal spirit.
Yes.
That is a reality.
Glory to God.
That is your identity as a believer. However, we are looking towards better things. And by faith, we are looking not to sleep and to be changed. But for someone to say that you're already immortal, it's not necessarily doctrinally correct. Because identity in the present does not necessarily translate into current reality. He says that a child, as long as he's a child, differeth not from a servant. Do it be Lord of all. That means the identity of that child is a king. However, he's not operating in the full capacities of a king. So it is not necessarily correct to say you are already immortal. It is a good proclamation to make by faith, however. I am immortal. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because we are looking at something beyond. Yes. He says that that we do not look to be unclothed, right?
Yes.
But to be clothed upon. But that clothing will actually come out from within. It is already inside. But the dictates, in fact, the operations of Pentecost are actually, I'm of the opinion that if you deal with the demands of Pentecost, there will be no shortage of the fullness when it comes. It is called fullness for a reason. It is called fullness. You see, there is a way we can approach this Pentecost thing from a knowledge perspective. And it's not, it is called fullness. How well are you dealing, yielding to the Holy Spirit? How well are you learning His ways? What are the traits of spiritual growth you can see in your life? How are you feeding and relating with spiritual truths? Yes, we know these things are ahead of us, but it is called fullness. You must celebrate the Pentecost in your own way. As Lord, because every man's celebration will be quite different. It is unique to your call. It is unique to your personality. It is unique to every individual. Praise the name of the Lord. So our focus actually, that was a bit of a detour. Our focus actually is the operations, the food you eat there. And a statement grabs my eye in verse 11, which he says that upon the nobles of the children of Israel, that means the people who crossed over to the second part, upon the nobles, what happened? He laid not his hand. That means he did not kill them. They had access to the holy place. And what happened? Can we read it together?
They saw God and did eat.
Let's take it again.
Also they saw God
and did eat.
And
one, two, go.
Also they saw God and did eat. And
so they saw God and did eat and drink. That means what you eat is directly connected to what you are what?
Amen.
The revelation, what you are meant to feed on in this realm is revelation. They saw God and did eat and drink. He says, except a man eats of my flesh and drink of my blood, he does not have life. He does not have anything that can build him up. But that blood, that bread is hidden in what you see. They saw God and did eat and drink. Please ask your neighbor, what are you seeing? Ask him again, say, what are you seeing? Because whatever you see, say, because whatever you see, we define what you eat. What are you seeing? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being changed from image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
We have open faces.
Amen.
You have open faces.
Amen.
There is nothing blocking you already. There is food available. But the counsel is eat.
Yes, sir.
Just eat, eat, eat. Mm. Eat fruit.
Hallelujah. Yes.
They saw God and did eat and drink. There is power in revelation knowledge. The aspect of renewing your mind is not a logos thing. It's not a logos thing. It is dependent on rhema. Whatever the Lord reveals to your spirit is the basis for which you renew your mind. It becomes your reality. When it is lie against truth, when the devil comes and offers you the lie you should be before, you show him this one. Say, but this is the truth. And you know when a child tells someone, a stranger, my mommy said that you sit here now. But my mommy said, but truth. The devil will always, or is the father of lies. We need to learn to throw away all the nonsense we have been living.
Nonsense.
When we come into the faith, there's all manner of things we see carry, baggages. But we see God in the name of Jesus. And we begin to eat and drink. Something happens when you eat. That is our food. That is the concept of spiritual food. To see God and to eat. Not logos. To see God. I think there was someone who asked about beholding the face of God. To see God. That is the concept. If you could underline a definition of spiritual food, it is revealed truth. I'm going deliberately to lay this down. We are not going to enter the message. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to lay a foundation that will give us, because I have a burden for spiritual food, to go into it and to lay a proper understanding as to what it really is. Obviously, we will not have to exhaust the time today, but I want to make sure I'm not leaving out anything. So let's move on. Something begins to happen when you are eating spiritual food, when you are truly, truly feeding on it. Let's turn to Isaiah 25, verse 6.
Isaiah 25.
Yes, well. Isaiah 25. And we'll read it together. Isaiah 25, verse 6, we'll read till verse 10. Are we there?
Yes,
sir. Okay, let's read it. 1, 2, go. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto you a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the east, a full of marrow, of wines on the east, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the people, and the veil that is spread over the nations. And he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off his faces, and rebuke his people, and he take away. Yeah. For the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, Lord, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is God. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him.
Even
and we say,
Amen.
You see, he speaks about the mountain. The effect of eating spiritual food. When you are feasting on truth. Remember, the church is described as a spiritual mountain. It says you have not come to a mountain that can be touched with hands. But you have come to where?
Mount Zion.
So the church is a spiritual mountain. And the believer comes into this mountain and the issue of lies is dealt with in a unique way. How do you deal with lies? He begins to explain. He will make a feast. That means the lies we have known is dealt with what? By eating. It will make a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on leaves, of fat things full of marrow, hidden things, of wines on leaves well refined. And it will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the people and the veil that is spread over the nations. The covering cast of lies. Deceptions that we have known. You hold on to lies, things just mindsets. You know, the Bible describes strongholds as arguments. The word strongholds in the scripture we read, I believe, is in 2 Corinthians 12, right? It says that the weapons of our own warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So, the issue of strongholds is argument, lies. And what does he now tell you? He begins to expose you. In the church setting, the fivefold comes and begins to bring revelation. In your closet, the Lord begins to expose you to truths. Truths that contradict everything you have known before. Truths that set you free and make you more active, more responsive to the nature, the treasure inside of you. On a practical note, he says on this mountain it will destroy the covering cast. Some people are just, at a certain point in my life, I used to be troubled with fear. Now I'm talking about fear that has no basis. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever woken up one morning and your heart is just beating? You ask yourself, say, why are you afraid? Who is it? You go ask God. God will say, me, I don't know. Just debilitating fear for no reason. Now, there is the spirit aspect of that. And there is the aspect that has to do with lack of truth, knowledge. Deliverance is of two forms. I believe in deliverance. The anointing, the yoke will be broken because of the anointing. But the most sustainable form of deliverance
is
knowledge deliverance.
Yes.
It says the light shines.
Yes.
Once light shines, it is a different, long-lasting deliverance. You see, the Peter that rose up to speak on the day of Pentecost was a different Peter. He was speaking based on a truth he was confident about. Peter that was running from a small girl. He stood up and he said, this Lord who you crucified today has been made both Lord and Christ. Very bold. That thing called fear. In fact, in my little meditation and preparation for this, the Lord ministered that to me. You see, fear is a spirit. And it is enhanced and reinforced by the lack of truth. Fear is a spirit. Hallelujah. Fear is a... He says he has not given us the spirit of what? So fear is a spirit. That's one thing that was... I would have been able to go to other things, but it just stood out to me, just meditating on it. Now, if you are here and you're dealing with fear, I want to let you know that it is a lie.
Yes.
You know what the devil uses to to oppress people is fear of the unknown.
Yes.
When you look and you're not quite sure, that fear just comes and it stares you in the face. You don't really know what to do with it. But just eat. That is what deals with the veil.
That is it.
See, tell someone eat.
Eat.
Just eat. Just eat. Tap, see, tap it out. Eat.
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 Eat. Just eat food. And as you continue to eat, it is almost, Tolu uses a description, an analogy of the woman with Ebola some time ago. The only woman, the first woman to survive Ebola, survived because she was force-fed. She was eating.
Yes.
She was eating. She will vomit, she will eat. She will vomit, she will pass it out, she will eat. Just keep on eating. Take the truths that come in church and just sit on it, sit on it, sit on it. Continue to look at it, eat. Look at what the Lord is speaking to you, because there is food abundant in this house. Look at it, continue to stay on it, eat, eat, eat. That thing you are dealing with will run away. In fact, it is encouraged that before you minister deliverance, speaking of the anointing to anyone, let them come to the church and first sit down and learn. In fact, that thing they are struggling with may just go.
That's true.
Eat food. Eat food. You see, I think it was the story of Elijah. Do you remember the story of Elijah when Jezebel chased him into the wilderness? He had just finished killing 400 people or 400 prophets. And he went, this is someone who just called fire down from heaven. And he was chased by a woman. I can imagine Jezebel very afraid. Because you know, all these kind of people, they can talk. That kind of thing. You imagine them. And just said, by the God, as long as there is a God in heaven, you will join the likeness of the people you have killed. In other words, you will die like the prophets. Well, this guy ran into the wilderness, and he was just there. He went and hid under a juniper tree. But something interesting happened. You see, the angel appeared, but he did not say, "Peace, I want to comfort you. Don't be afraid." He did not. You know, the Bible says angels ministered unto Jesus. The Bible says the angel appeared unto him. He says, "Arise and eat."
Yes.
Arise and eat. That means sometimes there are certain experiences you go for. In life. The Lord will not necessarily address it the way you expect. He will give you a walk. On the strength of what was given to him, the Bible says Elijah walked 40 days and 40 nights unto Mount Horeb. He ate something. There was strength. His strength was renewed. He walked and he did not faint. There is bread for every situation.
That is it.
There is bread for every situation you are going through. There is bread. There is food for every situation. He says there is no temptation that is new for man. There is bread for every situation.
Yes. Glory, hallelujah.
Sometimes it may come through your brethren, which is very nice. Someone just calls you and you just stop, and they just say something that resonates with your spirit, and it is a form of encouragement. It is like meat in due season for your soul. There is also that better one, that you are down, you are, and it precipitates from your inner man. It just comes up. And it is a source of life.
Amen.
Arise and eat.
Amen.
Brethren, we must eat spiritual food.
Amen.
Take truth and sit on it. Just stay. Meditate on truth. You know, principles do not change. That thing called meditation is very, very, very important. Certain deliverances in your life, I believe Stalawa shared one notable deliverance that he always makes reference to. If we want to share our own experiences, by just meditating on revealed truth, it's as if something is taken away. May the Lord give us grace to arise and eat. to eat the food that is coming expressly. There is food in the house. And revelation will not cease in your own personal closet. The Lord will begin to open you up to diverse revelations. Things that you have not known before. Light on different levels. He says, for in his light we see light.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Arise and eat. Eat food. Let that thing called fear. I am more drawn towards that thing called fear. In fact, it is one of the reasons people, it can bound you up. He says, the fear of man puts a snare upon the soul. That's in the Proverbs. It creates a snare. It is a trap. I hate that thing called fear. I've been tortured by it. It can torture you. Is it not the scripture that also says that fear has torment?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It can torture life out of you. I've seen that there is literally nothing. It's not like fear does not visit. But we have a responsibility to call ourselves to remembrance. If it's too much, speak with a brother. Say, ah, this thing is bothering me. And you'll find that sometimes that when you speak to someone about something that's bothering you, they will say something that will help you realize that that thing you're actually thinking about is not really an issue the way you see it. But because you are dealing with it individually, the devil has exalted it. It just makes it be. But eat food.
Yes.
If you don't get any message today, what did I say?
Eat
food. Just eat.
Eat.
Hallelujah. And the veils of the lives of the enemy will be taken away. Regardless of what you are feeling, just keep on eating. Eat. And to be dealt with. Now, the effect of spiritual truth, I need to lay this down, can be notable or can be noticed on three levels. First Thessalonians 1 verse 3. You can read that later. You can notice that your faith will start to grow. It talks about in First Thessalonians 3. Okay, let someone just read it.
Patience of hope.
In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Yeah. So the effect, we have dealt with the major concept of spiritual food, which is that spiritual food is revealed truth, not any other thing. Now the fundamental evidence that you are growing, you will see that this thing begins to grow, this thing called faith. And there are levels of faith. It begins to grow. Your ability to trust God, and it comes by revelation and also practice. When you exercise on the truth that has been revealed in you, and it yields forth fruit, it makes a case for faith. So it boosts your energy level of faith, if you can call it that. So faith is sustained by revelation and practice of revelation. Of course, there is hope. The ability to hold on to God, the unseen, to hold on to that which is unseen. Says we have an anchor for our soul.
Hallelujah.
We have love. Your ability to love your brethren more, to love God more, to respond to his love. Those are evidence that truth is coming into your spirit. In fact, you find out that the prayers in the epistles deal with these three.
Yes.
It says that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in your heart by what? By faith. So the prayers of these three are core evidences that a believer is growing. You begin to grow in this things. Hope, I'm moving at a decent pace, right?
Yes, sir.
So these three are evidence that you are growing. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we'll begin to eat.
Amen.
We will take the food we receive on Sunday and do
eat.
That is how the veil is taken away. Now let's move forward. We'll close early today. How can we practically benefit from the food? we are exposed to. How can we practically benefit from spiritual food too? Because, you see, I have said something earlier that I came to a point in my life where I needed to ask the question, what am I doing? Why do I read? Why do I listen to a message? Am I doing it to deceive myself? Am I doing it so I can have something to discuss with Chidera or with Daniel or with my brother? You understand? I'm just trying to create, how do I benefit from spiritual food? Now, I want to, an analogy that helped me appreciate this better. The scripture says that the invisible things of creation are clearly seen and what? Understood by the things which are made. Even the Godhead and what? Can't remember the last thing. Things in Romans 1 verse 20. Can someone read that?
For the invisible things of things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even its eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
So that they are without its eternal power and Godhead. So the invisible things, the natures of the spiritual realm, are clearly both seen and understood. I've come to appreciate that word, understood, in a very, very interesting way. So, the invisible realm is understood by the physical, what we have available in the physical. I want to ask another biology-related question. What organs in your body would you say are the most vital organs? Okay. Are you sure? I'm just asking, I'm testing your result. The brain? The brain and the heart, right? That's interesting. I was expecting us to go stay liver, pancreas. But we just went straight to the point. Now, let me give an analogy. And this will help us better appreciate the effect of spiritual food. We have to, by God's grace, I should be done next week. I've not gone into the core. Listen, but we're laying the foundations. So we have, you mentioned two things, please. Sorry, let me come there. The brain. And the what? Now, these two organs are quite interesting from actual development of the human. From the embryo stage, I'm not trying to complicate anything. The first organ to actually develop functionally or to show is the heart. It is the first organ to develop. And based on the development of this organ, other organs around benefit from this.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere. The scripture says with the heart, man does what?
He
lives on. So it is the first point of our encounter with God. Now I'm going to, obviously this is typified in scriptures, not the physical heart. Now, you will see that as you grow, two things help your heart become stronger. A weak heart is a problem, naturally. So two things help your heart become stronger. Can anyone give a guess?
Exercise.
Oh, good food. Not just food. Not McDonald's. But what? Food. Like some people are learning to eat good food. So good food. I think that's interesting. Good food. Not just food, actually. So the development of every other thing in your body or system is dependent on this. Next is the brain.
The brain is quite unique in the sense that it is one of the things that follow after this. This is the first. There is a process called synaptogenesis. Tumi will know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to overdo anything, but you will get where I'm going through. It is not complicated at all.
Synaptogenesis.
Basically, synaptic formation, beginning synapses. Now, this is the way your nerves, in a simple form, your nerves reconnect and form new connections in your brain. Yes. So this is the way it forms. And you see that over time, you need neurons to form. And the thing with this process is that it does not end. Your brain needs this process to function. You need this process throughout your lifetime. It does not change. This thing does not end. You have to have it going. In fact, when it starts to have issues, you start to see people suffering from dementia, suffering from Alzheimer, vertigo, things like that. So this is continuous for your lifetime. It continues to connect nerves and connect and connect. So it is also dependent on what? What is this thing dependent on?
Exercise.
Now, please don't mind my aggression. It's not a representation of my actual. So, just so far, so we don't complicate anything, what do these two bring your mind to? First of all, what does this represent?
The mind.
What does this represent?
Spirit.
That's correct. That's, in fact, everything we said now is correct. He said the heart, he said the spirit. And she said, the mom said the spirit. Which is actually the same thing. I like to define it as the core of man. The core of man. Whatever does not get to your heart cannot change you. Whatever spiritual truth does not get to your heart does not change. It typifies the spirit man or the soul, but it is the core of man.
Yes.
If you realize every discussion the Lord had with the children of Israel or the people was relating to the heart. You will say, you draw close to me with your lips, but your heart is far away. He was not interested in anything they were doing physically. He was interested in the heart condition. We will say, don't rend your garments. Rend your heart. I'm seeing that thing inside. So that is, we have established that the brain typifies the mind. Or as our brother spoke about it some weeks back, the heavens of the new creation, man. That was powerful. And also the inner man. The heart speaks of the inner man, the core of man. Now, the heart can either be weak or strong. I'm taking time, sorry. I'm almost done. The heart can be weak or strong. In the physical. When this is weak, it is weary. Speaking about the connection to the spiritual aspect now. Because it says if you faint in the day of adversity, you're what? Your strength is small. Strength is a commodity of the heart. It is something you have in the heart. You do not have strength in your mind. It is a strength in the core, in the core of man that sustains you. So you can be either weary or joyous, or hopeful, or full of delight in the heart. So it is weak.
What does the scripture about say about the heart? What makes it strong?
Can someone open to Psalm 104, verse 15? And we'll just read it together. We're almost done. This is a foundation for just spiritual food. As you said, the topic is built up by the word of His grace. So we are laying a foundation, but we've not gone into the typifications of spiritual food. 15. Yeah. I think it's 15.
Yes. So,
can you read it?
And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's
and
heart.
And bread strengtheneth the heart. Bread strengtheneth the heart. Very important. Are we seeing the connections? Mm-hmm. Is it making sense, please?
Yes.
Please, is it making sense?
Yes, sir.
So, the bread you eat, what? It does what? It strengthens your heart. But that is more on a theoretical perspective. I can just say it out there. But how do I really have the effect of draw strength from the Word of God? I believe at this point, we know that to renew the mind of the believer, you need the revelation, which you have established earlier. But I want to talk a little bit on this. We'll still come back to this. So how do you truly benefit from spiritual food when it comes? I think we have mentioned it in passing. You know this thing called meditation? Not many people know how to meditate. I've come to appreciate small principles like these things we say and repeat every time like this. Because those are the things that actually build your spirit, man. For you to benefit from bread, you cannot necessarily read it. So the scripture will say, wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. That's in Psalms 27, verse 10. Wait on the Lord. To wait means to meditate. To stay on something for a while. Wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. You can stay on the scripture. And this thing called meditation, how do you do it? In fact, I will involve, let someone describe it. Practically, how do you meditate? We are rounding up, don't worry, we'll leave early. How do you meditate on the Word of God? Can someone just give a description of it? To mutter. Okay. Like, how do you operationalize that? When you say to mutter, what does that mean?
Confessing.
Rehearsing the word. So we meditate. And we meditate while, and we also think. Those two are very important. You take advantage of your mind and you take advantage of your words. We continuously rehearse it. Tolu makes reference to prophesying the word of God. Over, it's something that I've learned from you. The emphasis is very important. To speak the word of God to yourself. Continue speaking it to your soul. The scripture will say that speak about those who rehearse the righteous works of God, something like that in Judges. So meditation is very powerful. If you want to draw, I know some of us want to read the Bible in 1 year, it's good. It's very, very good. But exercise yourself in meditation. Take something that stands out to you, or something that deals with a struggle. Let's go back to that thing called fear again, and ruminate on it, think on it, meditate. There's two scriptures for that. I think I said Psalms 27, verse 14. Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord and
He will be of good courage.
Mm-hmm.
And He shall strengthen my heart.
And He shall strengthen.
Wait,
I say on the Lord. Please, I cannot emphasize this. To just stay on the word. Just that is how you actually feel. That is one important aspect. Meditating over a long time. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So there is a factor. Your inner man really benefits from the word when you wait. It is strengthened. We are laying a foundation for spiritual food. So that is how we feast on spiritual truth, as we have said. Verse 2. Second point, rather. Listen or read a material that has blessed you over and over again. There was a time I needed faith food, like me and my brother called it. I listened to this man's message. I will not call his name. I listened to it so much that I could narrate or speak line in line with what he was saying. Not because that was the mindset or that was what I wanted to benefit, but I so much soaked juice from that. It benefited me long term. And the guy was preaching faith. You know those points in your life when you just need something to stir up your faith? Nothing else can help. You just need to listen. Sometimes you cannot really open the word for yourself. Not because you cannot. There is that distractions, things that happen. You can only listen. So just continue listening. It goes back to the statement of eat. Please, I have a burden in my heart concerning fear. The more I speak about it, the more I am persuaded about it. Fear, that thing is a lie. Please eat food. So two scriptures, Psalm 62 verse 11, we'll just take that down. Romans 10 verse 17. The first one says, once I have heard, or once the Lord has spoken, and twice I have heard, that all power belongs to Him. He spoke once, but at least twice I heard. It is important to listen over and over again. Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And lastly, the practice or exercise of truth, like we have said. These are fundamental things that need to be stated. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7, says, as you have received Christ, therefore walk in Him, be rooted, built up, and established. Joshua 1, verse 8, says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from thy mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night, and you will observe to do. So meditation goes with also doing. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. So we have just laid. I don't know. Was this analogy helpful?
Very.
Yeah. So we just laid a foundation for. As Lord gives grace, we'll round this up next week. But I have a burden to explain. That was the thing that the burden has been to explain the concept of spiritual food. We can agree, if we want to outline that, from what we have said from the beginning of today, was that the concept of spiritual food is revealed truth, and it is accessible only by the Spirit. It is accessible on a personal and corporate level. And secondly, the effect of spiritual truth is to remove the veil. It takes away the lies. It battles lies. And the more you feed and feed and feed on it, that lie that has become a constant is dealt with. It is dealt with. And surround yourself with people that are speaking truth. Don't surround yourself with people that only speak. How are you today? With a mind. What's that? You know, is it not a common Nigerian slang? Do you understand what I'm talking about? How are you today? How are you doing? With a manager. What is that? It sounds like something you just pass across, but all those things, he said, take heed how you do it. How you hear. Gather, stay around people that speak positive things, speak life. So, the third one was we established certain realities or certain principles on how we can benefit from food. So the counsel today is to keep on eating. Just eat. Say, arise and eat.
Arise and eat.
For the journey is far.
For the journey is
far. Arise and eat.
Arise and eat.
For the journey is far.
For the journey is far.
There is food sufficient.
There is food sufficient.
And the Lord has prepared.
And the Lord has prepared.
Things for his children.
Things for his children.
Said, thou preparest a table before me.
Before me. Hallelujah.
In the presence of my enemy. There is food prepared for you. There is food prepared for me. I must eat this food. I am hungry for good food. And I will eat it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's begin to speak to the Lord. We'll pray one prayer. Just ask the Lord, give me your bread.
He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on another kind of bread. Lord, give me your bread. Give me your bread. Give me your bread.
Switch